Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I don't know about you, but it's been a good year, but it's been a challenging year. It's like the fight that you've won. When you're in it, there's a lot of pain and blood and mess. There's fear, there's danger. But after you've won it, you can look back, wipe the blood and sweat and tears away, and you know that you've had a victory. Amen? And how many of you, well, all of you need to lift up your hands. You must have had some sort of victory, otherwise you wouldn't be in the house of the Lord. You'd be somewhere else. You wouldn't be serving God. You'd be somewhere else, right? You've had a victory, man. Praise the Lord. Turn around and look at someone. Say, you're a champion. Huh? Glory to God. Now lift up your hand. You know when there's a champion? You know when you're on the mat, when you're in the ring, whatever it is, and you stand there and the judges make their decision, or your opponent is picking his teeth up with broken fingers off the mat and he's in no state to continue. The judge gets a hold of your hand and he lifts it up in the air, and that signifies that you are the victor. I want you to get the hand of the person next to you, and I want you, on the count of three, I want you to lift it up in the air because you are a victor. Everyone get someone's hand. If no one's got anyone's hand, then I'm going to have to get out. There's some people over there. Get ready. This is, you know, this might seem like, man, this is cheesy Christianity. Shut up with that stuff. It's not. This is actually good stuff, man. Are you with me? Put your hands down yet. You ain't been judged yet. Jumping into it already. On the count of three, one, two, three. Champions. And we could all, we are the champion. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But you're a champion. And I want to speak this word, and it's the title is Owning Your Future. Owning Your Future. I want us to read very quickly in 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 1 through 7. I'm going to be reading in the New King James Version. And the Bible says this: the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there. Let us go and make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." Everyone else had already gone. But one of them said, "Will you come with us?" And he answered, "All right then." He said, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." Turn around, look at someone, say, "Pick it up for yourself." So the man reached out his hand and he took it. You know, your future is not in the hands of anyone else. It's hidden in God's hands, but you have to own it yourself. You have to value it yourself. You have to invest in it yourself. And too often we hear of people, and sometimes we even hear it from our own lips, that we couldn't do this, we didn't do that, because someone didn't do this, someone done that, this person, that person, the other person, when in actual fact, it's your responsibility to invest in the outcome that you want to see for your own life. Come on now. Huh? And we talk about growth. We're coming up to the new year. We're going to have all these mad New Year's resolutions. I saw someone post something on social media of a big fat seal. flipping along the floor like that. And it said, getting back to the gym after Christmas. Because that's what we feel like, right? Some big, fat, floppy old thing. Or are you going to go on this mad diet? Or are you going to do that? Or are you going to do this? Or are you going to do that? Or are you going to do this? Huh? And then something else comes in, and then you don't do it. But the fact is that our future is in our hands. Are you with me? And there are many Christians that are not living the future that they wanted to live back in the past because they haven't invested in it, or they haven't allowed themselves to be invested in by the right people. You get a gossipy bunch, you know, the wound-licking societies of everyone who's had some problem with churches, some problem with leaders, some problem with other people, and they get in a little group and they lick each other's wounds and they do their thing, and then they never ever see the future that they desired. Are you with me? You get the lazy bunch, you get this bunch, you get that bunch. But then you get the bunch that are on the cutting edge. They have a cutting edge. Everyone say cutting edge. And they're the ones that want to grow, and they invest in the outcome that they want to see. And when a follower of Jesus engages fully in the life of faith, it is always a sure sign that growth is coming. You have to engage, speculate to accumulate, the business people say. You've got to invest to receive an outcome later on, right? Have you been investing, or have you stopped? Have you lost it somewhere? But when someone becomes engaged, that believer becomes what the Bible calls a disciple. And a disciple really is just an engaged believer that is on a learning journey. And that believer then becomes a disciple with a cutting edge. And when you're talking about discipleship, I find it helpful to understand a few key things. A disciple is a constant learner. If you ever get to the point where you think you've learned enough, you might as well die. We need to be learning constantly, and there's always someone to learn from. Every teacher has go-to people. Are you with me? I'm the pastor of the church. I oversee churches. I lead leaders. I do this and that and the other. But most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing. And if you ask any leader that is honest, they'll say the same thing. There's some stuff that I know what I'm doing because I've learned it. There's other stuff that I'm into for the first time and I don't know what I'm doing. So what do? Firstly, I bumble along, make you think I know what I'm doing. Because that's part of a leader's skill. Secondly, I'm going to find out from someone who's done it. That way I learn it. That way I can keep ahead of the game. That way I can keep going. And it's a constant thing. You never, ever stop learning. Because there's situations that you're going to come across, and there's situations that are going to face you, and opposition and stuff that's going to happen in your life that you're going to need to know what it is that you need to be doing. That's being a disciple. And a disciple is someone that has a heart to learn, but also gets around the right people that can teach them the right stuff. Are you with me? And a real good disciple is someone whose life is effective. Now, this is key. Effectiveness. This is a cutting edge. A cutting edge is a term that is used to describe effectiveness. Huh? Effectiveness is the highest level of development. When you become effective in what it is that you do, then you have a cutting edge. That is the highest level of development. Efficiency is good, and sometimes we want to become more efficient. In fact, in 2017, we made sure that this church started to become more efficient. We got new staff, amazing staff. We started stepping out in faith. You know, if you had a look at my vision, you would see a man like that stroking a tiger, full of muscles, big. Stroking a tiger. If you had a look at our budget, there'd be some little skinny bod with an old moggy. But we've stepped out in faith because we've wanted to become more efficient. But efficiency on its own just means that you can do twice as many jobs in the same time. That's being efficient. But sometimes that just wears you out. But effectiveness. Woo! Being effective, man. Effectiveness means that you're doing the one or two things that only you can be doing at that time. Imagine we're efficient as a church, all our structures, our worship. You know, we start on time, we finish on time. We have the right amount of songs. I'm still learning efficiency in my preaching. Me being an efficient preacher would mean that I finish on time. But I've decided I'd rather be effective. But what good is it if we're efficient and we start on time and we finish on time, but our lives ain't changing? What is it? What good is it if our worship is beautiful and perfect and every note and every harmony and every new tinkly thing that we've got now that I thought someone was kicking a tin can around, that we're learning to grow into the kungas? What good is it if it's efficient but no one's entering the presence of God? What good is it if I can get up and I can preach a message that is soteriologically clear, is effective, is efficient in the fact that it breaks down all the Greek tenses and all that, but yet no one's life's changing? That ain't no good. We need to be effective. Being effective. And I believe that if everyone learns to be effective, keeps learning, but learns to be effective, gets the cutting edge back that some people have lost, I think that, wow, there ain't going to be no stopping this church. There ain't going to be no stopping your life. What do I mean by being effective? What about writing a book? In 2018, I'm going to write a book. By God's grace, I'm going to write a book. That is me being effective, using over three decades of experience of brokenness and hurting people and messed up lives. And I'm going to write a book by God's grace about leading broken people. Amen. Keep it in prayer. Leading broken people. Amen. I'm putting it out there right now, so there's no hiding. You got to keep me in prayer. You got to keep on it. Hey, Pastor, how's your book coming? What about writing a song? Or songs? What about an album? Huh? What about an album? What about painting a painting or starting a business? Starting a ministry? What about that? The one thing. See, there's the corporate vision, and we know that we're called as a church and as a ministry to reach hurting people, to go out and to reach and teach and disciple hurting people around the world, the lost, the least and the last, the broken, the addicted, their families, the up and outs, the down and outs, everyone that does not know Jesus, we're called to reach. That is our mandate as a church in Victory Outreach. It don't matter where you've come from. We're trying to point you towards a future that is effective, a future that is you to the T, that you're becoming everything that you were created to become, and you're helping other people to become that as well. But how comes it ain't happening at the rate that it should? Sometimes it's because we lost the cutting edge. Sometimes you've got involved in the corporate vision, and everyone needs to, but your own vision has been lost somewhere along the way. Or sometimes you've started up something yourself, but it wasn't even part of the corporate vision. And it was just out there. But they have to marry and they have to mirror. When you're doing that, you're on the cutting edge. Why is it important to have a cutting edge? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. It says, using a dull axe requires great strength. How many of you know, sometimes you can be efficient and still not be able to get through. You can be really good at what you're doing. You can do 10 jobs, but none of them seem to be making a difference. Huh? It says, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. You know, in the world, people get knowledge, then they try and understand what that knowledge is, and then they say that then that becomes wisdom. But in the Bible, it flips the script. It says, first you get wisdom, then you get understanding, then you get knowledge. And wisdom comes from God. You have to ask God, God, show me what to do. Show me how to do it. Show me where to do it. Show me what you want me to do, where and when, with who. He gives you the wisdom. Then afterwards, after you've obeyed it, you'll understand it. And then more knowledge will be added to you to sharpen your axe, to keep sharpening your axe, to keep you effective and keep you on the cutting edge. But it must start with God. But otherwise, you've just got a dull axe. And you're just wasting loads of time trying to get a breakthrough. How many prayers you pray trying to get a breakthrough with a dull axe? It's like some people are hitting a tree and it's just going, boing. Huh? People who are wise know the value of staying sharp in what they do and how they do it. Because who wants to do all this stuff without seeing any results or having any sense of achievement? That just makes you tired. It makes you weary. It stops you wanting to get involved. It stops you wanting to engage. You start getting distracted and diverted. You start watching more TV than you're actually reading any books. And you'll justify anything. Some person told me that they'd made a New Year's resolution to read more. So they started putting up subtitles on their TV screen. They ain't no good. That's a compromise. Huh? But unfortunately, many people that attend a church don't have any sense of achievement. And one of the main reasons is that they haven't understood the need for continual learning, sharpening, which is summed up in the biblical word discipleship. Really and truly, it's an ongoing process of continual sharpening, because you get blunt from time to time, so you need to get sharpened up. You need to get livened up. I mean, if you know, sometimes your shirt gets untucked. You need mummy and daddy to come along and tuck you back in. Sometimes you start getting a bit out there and you need someone to come in and say, no, 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 that's not the way to do it. Sometimes you need someone to say, go this way. Cutting edge. The place that you learn that is in church. Church is God's idea. Church is not a building, it's the people. It's getting the right people around you. It's by getting the right people in front of you, the right people behind you, the right people around you that can show you, speak to you, get you to do the things that you need to be doing. And the truth is that before you're released with your own cutting edge, you generally have to learn from someone who already has one. Are you with me? A lot of people want their own thing. They want to do their own thing, but they've never served someone else's thing, so you don't know how. There ain't no shortcut to the cutting edge. You don't just all of a sudden, you're 3 years old and you get an axe and go out, sent out to cut trees. Are you with me? You have to learn. It's like giving a five-year-old the keys to your car. Would you do that with your kids? No way, man. Huh? Because you have to learn. So how do we get involved? How do we get and keep a cutting edge? Let's go back to our original scripture. Are you with me right now?
Yes.
Is anyone with me right now?
Yes.
Huh? We're going to break it down into a few sections. The first section is time to grow. This is verse 1 and 2, where the sons of the prophets came to the prophet. The sons of the prophets were a school of prophets. They would come, and the prophet Elijah, and then Elisha would teach them. They would train them how to serve God, how to hear his voice, how to proclaim his truth, how to minister, minister healing and all these different types of things. They came to the prophet Elisha, and they said, look, the place where we're at is too small. Can we go to the Jordan and build something else? This is the first section, huh? And it sets the scene. And it shows that being in a discipleship situation promotes growth. And if understood properly, it can be positive. But if it's attempted wrongly, if you try and grow yourself in the wrong way at the wrong time, it can be very harmful. Are you with me? It's like having a a new young kid who's just come off the streets, who can fight a little bit, going for the world title in UFC, or he's going to get battered. Because a wild man would always get beat by a trained man. Are you with me? Always. Huh? And you might be able to cook some beans on toast, but don't get down with some jollof rice, because you need the Holy Ghost to get that sort of stuff down. Huh? Elisha was the successor to Elijah. And he was teaching these people, this community was a learning environment. These students were disciples of Elisha. There are three main ways that we learn. Formally, which is classroom, church, sanctuary type learning, which is about being in the right place. You have a specialized learning environment, and growth takes place in that environment. Then you have informally. This is about being around the right people. This is where you're just there and you're fellowshipping with people and you're asking questions and you're interacting with people, and you can learn a lot from that. Then you have non-formally. That's when you just watch and you listen and you learn from what other people are doing. You check them out. You watch how they flow. You see how they flex. And then you think, right, I'm going to do that myself. So you need all three of these things. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." It's important who you listen to. It's important who you get around. It's important where it is that you're learning. Does that make sense? You know, there's a lot of Christians that learn off the God Channel. Shut up with that stuff, man. Go to church. Are you with me? Unless you're in Alaska, you know, and there's no church for 1,500 miles, or you're on an oil rig or something, you know, go to church, wherever it is. Huh? So knowing these things sets us up for growth. And in verse 1 and 2, we see that the disciples of Elisha wanted to grow. They wanted to grow. And the thing is, if growth is because new challenges are needed, then that's great. But sometimes what happens is some people want to move on because where they're at is cramping their style. Because the discipler is telling them what to do. He's showing them the ropes. And they don't want to listen to orders anymore. They don't want to take no orders. They don't want to listen to someone else. Who do you think you are? Well, everyone's staying silent on that one. Because everyone's been there. I don't want to listen to you. Who do you think you are? Huh? So it's really important to get the go-ahead. So praise God they got the go-ahead. Let me come to the next section. Whatever the situation here, it's important to understand that you're never ever going to grow out of the need of having a teacher or a mentor or a guide. And to think you don't need teaching is a sign of pride. And pride comes before a fall. And to say, I don't need a teacher, I know everything, means watch out, you're about to come unstuck. But thank God, one of the sons of the prophets invited Elisha to go with them. Permission is important in this type of thing. If you want to learn and you want to grow, you need permission. If I'm going to lead you, I need your permission to lead you. You know, there's some people I can't do anything with. You know why? Because they won't give me permission. They don't want my input. They don't want my advice. They don't listen to what I say. And so therefore, there's nothing I can do. Are you with me? You can't force people to learn. People have to want to learn. They have to invite you to do it. Does that make sense? Huh? Without permission for someone to train you, you could be waiting a long time to get the attention that you desire. You know, I went to people when I was growing in the Lord. I said, show me. Teach me. I was available. If they looked for someone, I was there. If they wanted someone to do something, I was there. I used to pick up people from the airports at 3 o'clock in the morning because I had a car. I'd drop people home after church. I'd be in the children's ministry. I'd be on security. I'd go here, I'd go there. They wanted people to go to India. I went to India. They wanted someone to go and start up a rehab in Jerusalem. I went. Didn't have any money, didn't have anything, but I wanted to learn, I wanted to grow, I wanted to be available, I wanted to take my future by the neck. So Elisha went with him. But then we see that they came and they were starting to build and they were starting to grow, they were cutting down trees, they needed trees to build their new building, but then one of them lost his cutting edge. And this can happen to anyone at one time or another. And we see the reason. This is how you lose your effectiveness. You ready? Said he started to cut down a tree. But as he was cutting down the tree, the exit came off, landed in the river, gutted. Now, all you've got is a big stick. And how many of you know there's a lot of Christians that are operating, not through faith, but just by trying to batter their way through things in the flesh with a big stick? Well, I'm just going to do it. You ever seen someone fasting in the flesh? They look like they're dying. How you doing, brother? Ooh, all right. Fasting then? Well, you know. In the flesh. Huh? Because you've lost your cutting edge. And I don't know about you, but I will tell you right now that there are some people in this church, not even just in this service, because I'm going to preach it to the next lot that comes in as well. There are some people that in 2017, you started off good, you stretched out, you're in the right relationships, you're doing the right thing, but somewhere along the line, boom, 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 the cutting edge went missing, and you've ended up these last couple of months trying to get through with just a big stick. That's why you're tired. That's why it takes more effort. That's why it takes more energy. That's why you ain't having no fun. You ain't seeing no outcome. You ain't achieving nothing anymore. You're not seeing the desired result because you're in the flesh. Pastor, you better be preaching an encouraging message. It's New Year's Eve, man. People want hope. They want joy. Yeah, but the truth is they've lost the cutting edge. Because we've been active and we've been efficient. But somewhere along the line, a little bit of the effectiveness went missing. Watch what happened. Watch why. Splash. Alas, master. It was borrowed. That tells you everything. He'd gone and he was trying to do something with someone else's tools. Huh? He didn't have his own axe. Either he hadn't thought that he needed one, in which case he got there and thought, I need to cut down a tree. Got a spare axe because he was unprepared, or he was either unprepared or he didn't think that the investment was necessary. I don't need my own axe. Someone else is bound to have one. I'll save that bit of money and I'll use it for something else. I'll use it for my bed in a new place. Me covers, me quilt, a little bit of comfort. I'm going to use that money, that investment, for my comfort rather than using it for the tools that I'm going to need to get the job done. Should I drop it? Not yet. Huh? It was borrowed. And how many of you know there comes a point in your life, it happens to all of us, when you're existing on someone else's anointing, when you're flowing under someone else's covering, when you're just doing what someone else tells you to do, when you're just following blindly what someone else, where someone else is leading, because you've taken your eyes off of your future and you're not using your tools and you're not investing in it and you're not owning it, all of a sudden it's just become borrowed. You're doing it because it needs to be done. You're doing it because it's in the calendar to do it. You're doing it because you think it should be done. You're doing it because the book says it should be done. You're doing it because this author said that they did that once. But what about you, man? Where are you at? What do you need to be doing? No one's going to write your song. No one's going to write my book. No one's going to give me the time to do it. No one's going to give you the tenacity to break through that thing, that opposition. No one is going to break your nicotine habit. No one's going to do it. An angel's not going to appear and say, "Not so fast, nicotine. Take the cigarette out of your mouth. Breathe into your lungs so all the black crud comes out." No one's going to lose weight for you. You ain't going to get an angel that you're standing on his feet and he's running. And you're just like that. You got to own it. You got to take ownership of it. And you got to invest in the right thing. All of a sudden, he was devastated. Now, all he had was this big stick, and he'd even broken someone else's anointing. What? You know, when someone in this church backslides and it becomes public, that affects me and my wife's reputation. Did I just go there, Vic? Wow. Borrowed. But when you own it for yourself, ain't no one going to take your testimony. Ain't no one going to take your effectiveness. Ain't no one getting in the way of you and your Jesus. Ain't no one going to stand in the way of you and your destiny. Ain't nothing. Ain't nowhere. Ain't no demon. Ain't no high place, low place, over the earth, under the earth. Nowhere is going to separate you from the love of God and from what it is that he has got for you and your anointing and your future and your destiny and your blessing. No one, because you own it. So what did he do? What did he do? Huh? Something had to be done. A lack of ownership in life leads to a lack of responsibility, which can lead to apathy and, before you know it, disaster. You're just getting by, man, on the prayers that you prayed last year, or the prayers that you prayed at the 21 days of prayer and fasting last January. Huh? Or the few prayers that you prayed, or the little bit you did in the summer, or the little bit you did before the Christmas holidays, but then boom, you took your foot off the gas and you just coasted up till now. Huh? Fueled by mince pies. And sometimes you don't value what you got till you lose it. Sometimes you're praying prayers that no one's helping. Everyone's going. It's all right, they're going to get their kids. I'm not being very efficient. It went missing, the cutting edge, because the man didn't look after it. I'm going to be 3 minutes. How did he get it back? First of all, Elisha asked him a simple question, got his head sorted back out. Where did it fall? Where did you lose it? Go back and identify the place that all of a sudden it started getting hard. Started getting complicated. You started getting painful. You started getting tired with it. You were bored of church. Go back to the place where it weren't fun no more, where worship, you couldn't lose yourself in worship. You were just worried about whether you'd put deodorant on and what the other person was sounding like, and the lights were too bright and the sound was too loud and it's too cold, and you wish you hadn't worn that shirt because it lifts every time you lift your arms. And you've lost it. Army dinner's on. Am I going to get out in the traffic? You've lost it. You walk past people in the street that are messed up and you don't give them a flyer, you don't tell them about Jesus. You've lost it. One of your family members argues about Christ and you just say, no, maybe you're right. It's up to you. You've lost it. Where did it fall? Can you remember? Because when you remember, you identify the place and the time. Then something amazing can happen. Huh? This takes honesty. Did you lose it when you stopped praying? When you stopped reading the word? When you stopped worshiping? When you stopped turning up regularly or even on time? You know, when you start getting late to church all the time, it means you've lost your cutting edge. What about when you stop serving? I'm just going to step back for a bit. Oh, yeah? And do what? Just be part of the problem now? Lost it. What about when you stop listening, when you stop learning, when you stop obeying? You start taking shortcuts, but there's no shortcut to the cutting edge. If you've stopped doing something eternal to concentrate on something worldly and temporal, deal with it. If you're gifted, but too selfish to invest your gift in the here and now in church, ask yourself why. If you've suffered loss or lack or injustice or hurt as a believer, and trust me, everyone suffers those things at some stage, but it's caused you to pull back to a place of comfort and control, then be healed. Don't stay in that place, man. Don't go forward from that place without that cutting edge. God wants to minister to that place to restore your soul so you can begin to live effectively again. It's not about moving on, but it's all about moving forward. The answer to the man's problem, and ours whenever this happens, is as beautiful as it is simple. Elisha got hold of a piece of wood and he threw it in where the man indicated that he'd lost the axe. This piece of wood is symbolic of the cross and everything that Jesus accomplished upon the cross. Sometimes in the New Testament there is a word, a Greek word, zoulon, which corresponds to the Hebrew word that is used here for wood. It means cross. It means a tree, a cross piece of a tree. It has that attachment to it. It's used in many different scriptures. We ain't got time to do it. But what he did, he got the wood and he threw it into the place of fallenness, the place of brokenness, the place where the missing part was. And when the wood touched that place of fallenness, all of a sudden it began to rise up. So if you've lost the cutting edge, if you've been tired, if you've been weary in well-doing, if you've got bored of the things of God, if Jesus ain't exciting you no more, if church is dull, and if you're looking around to some other distraction and you've lost the cutting edge, then get back to the reason for everything. Get that place where you lost it and put it together with the place where you found it, at the foot of the cross. Remember why you were saved. Remember where you were when you were saved. Remember what for. And then when those two things start to get back together again, there's a resurrection that takes place. All of a sudden there's a gratitude that takes place, and your gratitude affects your attitude, and then your attitude affects your altitude, and before you know it, you're rising up again and you're above the situations that were keeping you down, and you're over the things, you've got over the things that were getting on top of you, and you start to rise up and lift up, and you're seeing things clearer with a different perspective. Your vision returns, your faith is fresh, your love is being poured out, you're grateful. Your anointing is back, and you start to pray and see results, and you start to give and see results, and you start to reach out and see results, and you're seeing results because the cutting edge came back. But then look what he said. There it was. Then he said to him, "Listen, son, you lost it. You pick it up. Take ownership of your future. Don't wait for someone else to do it. I'm not going to do it. They're not going to do it. You need to do it. You're the one whose life was broken. You're the one whose life became effective. You're the one whose life got diverted. You're the one that wants to be effective again. You're the one that I've called. You're the one that I've anointed. You're the one who I've created to do these good works. Pick it up for yourself." And the man picked it back up. And his cutting edge was back. Would you stand with me right now? If this word has spoken to you, we're being effective right now, not efficient. We're going to be effective right now, not efficient. This is the last day of the year. I believe that 2018 is going to be a year of many, many more challenges. You know, we're going to see it economically. We're going to see it. But I believe that Britain's going to be blessed. You're going to hear all this stuff tonight. We're going to be blessed. Brexit's going to work. We're going to be blessed, man. We're going to see it geographically. You're going to see it in the weather patterns. You're going to see situations arise. You're going to see madness take place. But those who know their Lord are going to do great exploits. You're going to see dreams come true. You're going to be effective. We're going to see souls saved like never before. But if this word's spoken to you, man, and you know you've lost your cutting edge, might have been last week over Christmas, might have been a week before, might have been a month before, you might be feeling down or low or broken or bored, or you can't be bothered. You need to get to the foot of the cross, and you need to remember why Jesus died upon that cross. Why was he born? He was born as the lamb without spot or blemish, the one that was going to be used as a sacrifice at Passover for the sins of God's people. And he did that for you. He did that for me. But he didn't save us so that we could just be ordinary. He saved us so that we could be extraordinary. The plans he has for us as his masterpiece, the good works he set out for us to do, that's the place of your effectiveness. No one else can do what it is that he set you up to do. But you need to be getting back that cutting edge. If this word spoke to you, come out. Come out. Come out and stand before the cross of Jesus and just lift up your hands and lift up your voice and say, Lord, show me where it fell. Show me where it went. Show me where I lost it. Show me. And as he shows you, start to say, God, take that right now. Place it at the cross. I release that now, that need, that deception, that fault, that flaw, that failing. And in its place, oh God, I pick up sharpness and effectiveness. Come on, right now, come on. All over this place. Just take a few moments just to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. Come on, take a moment. Come out, make an altar before the Lord. Don't regret not responding. Come on, lift up your hands.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.